So, you know, RCC exists a big part to be a blessing to the local community. And we're a Clay County church. We love our community. We love Northeast Florida. And we want to continue to be a blessing to those in need right here in our own neighborhood. So help us do that. Get those items and let's have them here on the stage by July 19th. Hey, I want to encourage you with this. If you've been coming to RCC longer than a couple of weeks, you need to go to Welcome to RCC. That's happening next week at 10 a.m. I would encourage you, 10 a.m.'s church, to go to 8:30 or go to 11:30 service or Thursday night service, and then be here next week at 10 a.m. and be part of the Welcome RCC. I promise you will be blessed. If you want to know more about our church, how to plug in, how to grow in the Lord together, go to Welcome to RCC next week. And don't forget, right now we're in a drive for advocating for the unborn through our First Coast Women's Services Baby Bottle Drive. And if you don't have a bottle, you need to go get one right after this service and then have that sucker filled up in 2 weeks by Father's Day, June 15th. And let's save the lives of the unborn. Every single penny you put in there, loose change, you put in dollar bills, you put in checks, are going to go to save the lives, once again, the unborn right here in Clay County. And on top of that, First Coast Women's Services do a great job in bringing people to Christ. Moms, dads, grandparents come to Christ through this amazing ministry. So every cent you donate goes to expand the kingdom of God, not just saving lives physically, but also spiritual lives as well. And dads, we love you. We're so grateful for you. We want you to know we're going to the biggest and best dad fest ever. So before you go to the beach, before you go to the lake or anything else with your family, make sure you're here to church. Go to church on Father's Day, June 15th. We're going to have a lot of fun that day. I promise you that. So can't wait to celebrate our dads this Father's Day for Dad Fest 2025 on June 15th. It's one of my greatest joys to be one of the pastors of this church, and we try to make this the hardest place on earth to go to hell from. And I want to welcome all of you. I want to welcome those of you who are joining us for the first time, maybe the first time in a long time, and you're back with us. But I want you to know something about the heartbeat of our church family. We want you to know that we love you. And we want you to know that we're for you. We're in your corner. And we know that life gets difficult. We know that life gets complicated. But you don't have to go it alone. And today we are finishing a series up called Weeds in My Garden. And when I started this series, I was honest with you and I said, I'm nervous about this series. We talk about mental and emotional health. I'm also amazed because I thought to myself, you know, is this going to be too long, too much? Are people going to leave the church? Let me tell you, our church has done nothing but grow during the series. We baptized more people than ever during this sermon series. Can we give God the praise for that? It's been awesome. There's been many of you who've sent emails and messages just thanking us for diving and stepping into these arenas. And many of you have received help and hope in the name of Jesus. Many of you have listened intently so that you can be a source of help and hope for your loved ones who are struggling with mental and emotional health issues. And I want you to know we have a resource available to you that'll be online. It'll stay that way. It's fluid. We'll continue to tweak it and change it, make it better. But once again, this resource is available for you and anyone online at riverchristian.church/mental health. If you're looking for some help, looking for some resources, looking for some counselors, looking for something maybe to share with somebody that's struggling, one of these mental health issues, make sure you know about riverchristian.church/mental health and use that website. You know, it's fascinating as we talk about this. I what kind of prompted this sermon series with a song that really affected me and impacted me deeply. And I want to read to you the lyrics of that song right now. I tell you that I'm whole, but I'm still healing. I tell you that I'm happy, but I'm grieving. I thought I was a fighter, but I'm still in the fire. If I'm being honest, I'm not being honest. I'll give you roses just hoping you don't see the weeds in my garden. If I'm being honest, I'm at my darkest. I'm sitting here waiting and praying for someone to show me what love is. I'm just being honest. And I wondered how many of our church family identified with the lyrics of that song. And the reality is many of us do. First week I talked about that it's okay not to be okay. And we talked about the four buckets that can cause, you know, depression. It's a spiritual bucket and situational bucket, biological, clinical buckets. We talked about that. We talked about in the series, worry, anxiety, depression, even burnout. You can go and listen to any of those. Maybe you missed some of them. But from the very beginning of the sermon series, I've been looking forward to this message right here because there is so much hope. There's so much hope for you and your family and your friends and your future. And if there's anyone here, let's just kind of be honest for a moment. If there's anyone here who has some weeds in their garden, will you raise your hand? My hand's up. You have any weeds in your garden? I think about all of us. I got enough weeds that fill this whole room up with all of you people, okay? I think about all of us have things that are going on in our life. And so every one of you should in your seat have one of these right here. Should have this, it's like a plant that represents like a weed. There was a greeter on Thursday night. I heard her say, "Did you get your weed yet?" And I can just hear it now. You know what they're giving out at RCC? Have you heard? So Lord, please protect us. Some of us might be tempted to think that, you know, if I was just more spiritual, if I prayed more, prayed harder, then, you know, I wouldn't have, you know, weeds in my life. However, just a little look in the Bible, it'll show you that incredibly spiritual people have had times in their life, seasons of their life, where they had to navigate weeds in their garden. Just because you're spiritual doesn't mean you're exempt from weeds. If only I spent more time praying or reading my Bible, we say, I wouldn't have these problems. Just because you're listening to shepherd's voice doesn't mean that you won't be attacked by wolves at times. Just because you're reading your Bible and doing what it says doesn't mean your life won't have storms. It just means that after the storms pass, with God's help, you will still be standing. Just because you're doing something spiritual doesn't mean that you're exempt from weeds. And we still think to ourselves, maybe if I did more for God, I sang more and I gave more and I served more, then I wouldn't have all these weeds in my garden. But if you look at Scripture, its chapters are dripping with people who are spiritual. They are doing amazing things for God, and they still had to navigate weeds in their garden. Think about Jonah. Jonah's a prophet in the Bible, and he preached an amazing sermon. Entire town of 120,000 people turned and repented back to God. I preached a lot of sermons. I've never changed a city like that. In fact, I don't know anyone who's preached a sermon that has greater impact than Jonah. Immediately after that huge success for God, he begged God to let him die. I think about Moses who ushered in the 10 plagues against the Egyptians, who led millions of people out of slavery, and they walked across the Red Sea, found himself overwhelmed, distraught, exhausted, and basically he says to God, "I can't take this anymore." It might mean that the more we try to accomplish for God, the more susceptible you may become to weeds, because Satan will do anything that he can do to stop the work that God is trying to do through you. And when you find weeds in your garden, it's not a sign that you're not spiritual or that you're not significant. It's a sign that you're human and that we live in a fallen world that Jesus came to die for and came to redeem. So I came to preach a simple message today, and the message is this: it's not over. It's not over. In fact, to remind myself what the sermon was, I had a shirt made just for me, all right? It's not over, in case I forget my message today. The message is for all of us who have weeds in our garden. This message is for all of us who have loved ones who have weeds in their garden. This message is for those of you who are in a troubling situation, coming to terms right now with past trauma. Maybe right now you're navigating a devastating diagnosis. And for those of you who are fighting a battle for your life between your ears, because I've said this before in the sermon series, the biggest battle you will ever fight in your life is not your spouse, it's not your kids, it's not your job, it's not the other political party. The biggest battle you'll ever fight in your life is between your ears. It's the 7 inches right here. This is where your biggest battle is fought in your life. And so I want you to turn to your neighbor right now, and I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell them it's not over. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor right now and say, "It's not over." All right, I want you to say it a little louder so that hell pays attention on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. It's not over. Say it even louder so that heaven knows that we're serious. 1, 2, 3. So let me tell you why I know it's not over. I may have weeds in my garden, weeds that have been in my life for my whole life, weeds that I just sprung up in my life, weeds that I picked before, I thought were behind me, but they keep showing up. I may have weeds in my garden, but guess what? I have a good gardener. Amen, church. I have a really, really good gardener. We serve a God who can turn things around. We serve a God who is caring enough to notice the little things in our life, but strong enough to handle our troubles and wise enough to know how to repurpose and redeem our pain. I came to preach a simple message today. I may have weeds in my garden, but I've got a good gardener. And if I've got a good gardener, guess what? It's not over. Paul says these words, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in," say it with me, church, "in what? In all our troubles, in all our weeds, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from whom? From God." Notice this, God cares and God comforts. He feels it with you and he is moved to action. And he does something that only God can do. See, God takes our troubles and turns them into bridges into the pain of others. Like we get connected with one another through the pain of our lives. In fact, I will say this is something that kind of took me about 40 years to figure out. The way I connect best with you is not on my strength and not on your strength. The best way that we connect is in our weaknesses. That's when I open up to you to say, you know what, I'm struggling right now. Me and our family, we're struggling with infertility. Right now, my marriage is struggling. Right now, I'm having a child and I don't know what to do right now. That's when we get connected, not based on our strengths. And so you might have thought, because of what you've been through, that God could never use you. I've thought that before. But little did you know that your pain was preparing you. It's not over. Your troubles just might be the intro into your testimony. Your struggle is just beginning of your story. Your pain might be just building up your platform. Your hurt just might be what God uses to start a healing in someone else's life. Your trauma just might be the ticket to speak into someone else's life. Your diagnosis might be your open door to change someone else's spiritual destiny. Your oppression just might be your opportunity to show that God is still good. Paul wrote these words, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself." That's a lot of weeds right there. "Instead, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God," say it with me, church, "who raises the dead. He," what? "Has delivered us from such deadly peril, and he will do what? He will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us." You see what Paul's saying? He's saying, God pulled weeds from my past, and he's going to pull weeds again in my life. But if he doesn't always remove them, guess what he's going to do? He's going to redeem them. He will redeem them. God can redeem the pain of having weeds in your garden. To move our dependence on self to our dependence on him. For he is our rock, he's our shelter, he is our great deliverer. God is our redeemer. And the power that he has in your life and over your story will bring about purposes out of the pain. And I want you to think about that for a moment. The same power that raised Christ from the dead. We read about this in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The same spirit that has the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you. It's not over. And if Jesus can handle your sin and he can resurrect you and make you new, if he can handle your eternity and write your name in the book of life, then is anything too big for him? I think about Elijah. We talked about him a few weeks ago. Elijah overcame the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel. And he felt, after that huge success for God, he felt so alone, he wanted to die. And God tells him, "Elijah, you're not alone. And in fact, I'm not done with you yet. And then he brings Elijah along to nurture and mentor another prophet by name Elisha, who goes on and does twice the ministry that Elijah did. And I think about all the amazing things Elisha did. He brought a woman back to life. He healed and cleansed the water of a whole entire community. He kept a woman's two sons from being in slavery and helped pay unpayable debt. He fed over 100 men with a piece of bread. He cured an amazing general of leprosy by the name of Naaman. Naaman was cured of leprosy by a guy who was mentored by a guy who wanted to die. In other words, it's not over. God can still redeem and repurpose your pain. And when I preached on suicide, I want to share with you the story that I'm going to share right now. There's a guy named Paul, another man named Silas, and they go into a place called Philippi. And they go outside Philippi to find a place of prayer. But on the way of finding that place of prayer, this young slave girl follows them, and she has a spirit that gives her the ability to predict the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. And she followed Paul and Silas, and she would shout out, "These are men of God, and they will tell you the way to be saved." She kept saying it over and over and over. And finally, Paul got sick of it. In the name of Jesus, he commanded the spirit to come out of her. Her owners, now realizing their ability to make money off of her had been compromised, seized Paul and Silas, dragged them in front of the authorities. They were misrepresented. They were stripped. And they were severely beaten with rods. And after being beaten, they were placed in an inner cell, and their feet were fastened to stocks. Right here, they were thrown in this prison cell right here. My daughter and I are in this photo. Several RCCers went to Greece to see where Paul went. And right here, they were thrown in this basically this dungeon. And this place is where they kept Paul and Silas through the night in a painful position, resulting in stretching and cramping of their leg muscles. And in the middle of the night, while their legs were cramping in the stocks, guess what they did? They prayed. And they sang praises to God. In the midst of a weedy situation, they proclaimed that our God is still a good gardener. And then an earthquake happened. And it hit that jail that you just saw on the screen. And the doors flew open. And the shackles came loose. And look what happened next. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to do what? About to kill himself, because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights. They rushed in and felt trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, say this word with me. They replied, what? Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your entire household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him, to all the others in his household. And that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, the wounds that he probably caused. And then he and his whole household were what? Say it with me. They were what? They were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. I love this. He was filled with joy. Because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. An amazing story. God took a man who was about to die by suicide and turned him into the spiritual leader of his own family, of his own home. He took a man who's about to take his life, and he gave that man eternal life. And that man became one of the founders of the church of Philippi. Paul later writes to the church that was started by a suicidal jailer these words that have been a source of strength and encouragement for Christians for hundreds and hundreds of years. It's called the Philippian letter. It's a letter written to the Philippian church. And so in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6, here's what Paul wrote to that church. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will do what? Say it with me. Will carry it on to completion. In other words, Paul is saying this. It's not over. Paul tells that same church that God is repurposing his pain while he is in chains. He says to the same church, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, the weeds that have been put in my life has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, because of my weeds, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and say it with me what, church? Say it with me. And dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. In other words, Paul is using my weedy situation to inspire other people to proclaim the good news about our God. No matter your situation, he's saying, it's not over. Paul is saying, even if you have weeds in your garden, press on because you've got a good gardener. Hold on because he's holding on to you. And the one who's holding on to you is good because he can remove the weeds or he can redeem the weeds. So don't give up. He says this later on, that same church, but our citizenship is in where? It is in heaven. And we eagerly await our Savior from there, the Lord Jesus, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his power will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Paul is saying our citizenship is in heaven. No matter how many weeds are in your garden, guess what? Your position in Jesus Christ is steadfast. Amen? Your position is strong. Satan can't touch it. You can't lose it. Why? Because Jesus has a hold of it. And he's not going to let you go. He says this to the church later on, to the same church, where I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. No matter how many weeds I got in my garden, I have a good gardener. And because of this fact, Paul says, I can do all this through him who does what? Gives me strength. He writes this for those who are doubting if God can handle their weeds. He goes on and says in Philippians chapter 4, 19, he says, and this same God is going to take care of me. And guess what? He's going to take care of you no matter what's going on in your life. No matter how many weeds you've got, God has given you everything you need to keep standing. Everything you need to keep going has been purchased in Jesus Christ. It's in the same letter that was inspired by a suicidal jailer who got saved. In these pages of scripture, that realize that God is using us and he's using the weeds for his glory and for his purposes. It is to the same church that Paul writes the famous verses like, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And then he says this in chapter 2, do everything without grumbling. Do everything without arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. Listen, I love you, but there's some of you who grumble and complain and argue a little too much. And that's because you're not handling the weeds in your garden like you should, right? And we need to. We need to figure out how do we handle this with God's help. We don't argue. We don't complain. We don't blame. We don't play the victim card. We don't grumble. We become blameless. Why? Because we're children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, right? But here's why we do that. Say it with me. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. No matter how dark it gets, no matter how long the night, it is your standing firm and you're clinging to your good gardener while you navigate the weeds in your garden. And guess what happens when you do that? You hanging on, you not giving up, will give the people in your life hope. Because more people are watching you than you could ever imagine. You will be a star that shines in the night, and that star is lit up by Jesus Christ. Paul goes on and says these words to the church in Corinth, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I plead with the Lord to take it away from me. But God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my what? My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on top of me. This is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and in insults and in hardships and in persecutions and in difficulties. Paul is saying, I got weeds. And some of you are in a period of weakness right now. You're in a difficult situation, but Paul is clinging. This is what you got to do. You got to cling to your good gardener. Why? Here's what it says. Say it with me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak, then I am strong. Because God comes out of me, right? It's not about me. It's not my power. It's His power. So maybe instead of asking God to remove our weeds, we could pray that God could use and God could redeem our weeds for His glory. How about that? I know we want that gone. We want that out of our life, whatever that is. But what if God, we start praying, would actually redeem and use what's going on in my life for His glory? Guess what, RCC? It's not over. And to those of you who don't know Jesus yet, your garden has no garden. Gardener, your weeds will choke out all the fruit and all the growth in your life. It'll steal from you your future. It'll steal from you your family. It'll steal from you your purpose. And the reason there is hope is because hope has a name. And hope's name is Jesus. There has never been anyone like Him. He knows you. He created you on purpose, for a purpose. He suffered for you. He died for you. And there is no sinner that Jesus Christ cannot save. And you may go, well, I don't know enough. Well, that's why I love the story about the Philippian jailer. Question, how many times had that guy been to church? How many times? Zero. How many sermons had he heard in his life? Zero. How many songs, how many worship songs had he sung? Zero. You are so far ahead of him, right? You're so far ahead of him. He was on the brink of ending it all. He was at the end of his rope, but he learned something. Ropes don't save. Jesus does. You can hold on to your rope. You can hold on to your job. You can hold on to your performance. You can hold on to your political party. But the only one who will never let you down, the only one who can save, the only one who can redeem, the only one who can restore is Jesus Christ. So there is hope for you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what's happened to you. There is hope for you. Now, for those of you who have weeds in your garden, listen. Don't you dare give up. Don't you dare give up. It's not over. God still has a purpose for your life. He can still use you. Listen, your weaknesses are simply an invitation for the power of God to show off in your life. In the midst of the weeds in your garden, guess what? God is still good. In the midst of the weeds in your garden, God has still got you. So RCC family, I'm praying that we'd be so close to the plan and purposes of our God, that we could have a testimony just like Paul and just like Silas, that while they suffered, guess what? They praised God. Even though they had weeds they had wished were gone, they praised God in all their suffering. And those around them took notice, right? That when the doors came off the hinges and the shackles came off of their feet, they knew it wasn't so that they could get out. It was so that the jailer could come in. It was so the jailer could come in to the kingdom of God. What if instead of us asking God to remove our weeds, we ask God to let people find Him through our weeds? You were handed this when you came in the door, or actually it's by your chair, and I want you to grab it right now. Here's what I want you to do with that piece of paper that's on this plant right here. I want you right now to write down the weeds in your life. What are the weeds in your garden? Go ahead and take the pen in front of you and start writing that down. Maybe for you, it's your health. Maybe for you, it's your marriage. Maybe for you, it's anxiety, depression. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's because you get so much identity for your performance, and it's just driving you crazy and everybody else crazy around you, if you're honest. Maybe it's someone betrayed you. Maybe it's from past trauma. Go ahead and write that down. In just a second, I want to ask you to come up here. I'm going to ask you to plant it. There's four planters, two on this side and two on this side. And I'm going to ask you in just a second that you plant your weeds in your garden. And when you do that, when you plant it in the ground, in the dirt, there's dirt up here. What you're saying is to God, you're saying, God, these weeds belong to you. This belongs to you. And selfishly, God, I want you to remove it. That would be wonderful. But God, more than anything else, if you don't remove it, please redeem it. Please redeem it so that others will know your power. They will see, even in my weaknesses, your strength. And God, you will use my weeds for your purposes and for your glory in your life. So Lord, repurpose it and redeem the weeds in my life. So just a second, I'm going to ask you to come up here and plant each one of these four planters across the stage. Also, I want you to know that up here, there's identity cards. And in case you did not get one, I encourage you to grab one, because here's the reality that we're going to be attacked. And Satan's going to lie to us about our identity. And I want you to be reminded, even while you battle the weeds in your garden, you have a good gardener. And this is what he thinks of you, even straight from Scripture. And I want you to be just reminded yourself and meditate on these truths of what God says about your true identity. So that way you're always reminded that you have a good gardener who loves you. He has a purpose for you, no matter how dark it gets. He died for you. And because of that truth, guess what? It's not over. Amen, church? It's not over. Don't give up. Will you stand with me right now? Let me pray over you. Father God, we come before you, and Lord, I ask a blessing over everyone here. And Lord, in this moment, I pray that you will be glorified, that you will do a work that only you can do. Lord, bring about the change, Lord, in our lives. Lord, we are getting ready to hand the weeds in our garden to you, and God, we would love for you to remove them. But if you don't remove them, Lord, we ask that right now you redeem them for your purpose. That just like Paul and Silas, who were in a very weedy situation, they didn't withdraw, Lord, they sang praises to you. Lord, people are watching us as we navigate the weeds in our garden. And Lord, may they see a supernatural strength that cannot possibly come from us. You are the one it comes from, and may you get the glory. We pray this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. The whole church said, amen. So as we're worshiping right now, I want you to come up here, and I want you to plant the weeds in your garden at these planters right now. Make sure you get one of these identity cards. If you need prayer, our prayer team's waiting on you. Why don't you come right now as we worship together. Please come.